I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show is going to be jam-packed with information, as usual. We're going to be talking about the Andarans. We'll be talking about creative intelligence, and also a bit of advanced alchemy. And I think you'll find that you probably need your paper and pencil handy, because there'll be lots of information coming your way and things you want to check up on later. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the show in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Yes, that was a clip from back in the 1970s. A bit of Japa Yoga, J-A-P-A, mantra repetition as taught and as practiced by Sri Swami Satchidananda. And he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And one of my spiritual teachers, if you're new to ET Yoga, my spiritual teachers were Swami Satchidananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, and Sri Ramana Maharshi. And with respect to extraterrestrial information, my connections are with the Pleiadians, Arcturians, Andromedans, Syrians, and through Bashar, the Esasani. And I'd like to, at this point in time, give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, and I know there's lots of new listeners out there tonight, you should also know that I do sincerely applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And I know that is a great challenge. I'd also like to take this opportunity to suggest that you can hear archives of this program about 2 days after, and they're posted at BBS Radio. A nice way to get there is to go to my website at etyoga.com. On the main page, there's a button there called Radio Archives. Hit that one button, and it'll take you immediately to the archives, and they're listed from the most recent and going all the way back, you know, over 10 years or so. And all you need to do is be aware of today's date, and usually they're also tagged with some description about the topics. And that's a nice way for people to take their time going through the material and doing their research at their leisure. I'd also like to take this opportunity to give my thanks, gratitude, and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, because clearly there is a conscious resonance, and the ET Yoga audience is certainly a factor in terms of providing an influence on this planet. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you. And others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And I totally concur with that. And it's amazing how many people are out there that can resonate now with talking about spiritual topics and getting into some deeper, higher spiritual subjects. And tonight's program came about from a kernel of information just about the concept of what is intelligence. And I was speaking with someone, and thought came to my mind that I hadn't really heard before, so I guess this is kind of my original thinking, that basically intelligence is consciousness that has the ability to put the dots together and be creative. And when you really get into it, it all has to do with your connection with your higher self. So in my opinion, the most important people are those people that are getting those glimpses and insights from higher self, higher mind. And if you think about that movie, was called Beautiful Mind, where the main character was at a college environment and skipping classes trying to come up with an original thought. And actually, if you get right down to it, according to Bashar, it is the higher mind that conceives concepts and ideas, and the physical brain receives, and the physical personality mind perceives, and that basically the rational mind is not capable of generating any idea or any creativity. All creativity comes from higher mind. And I think that certainly would concur with my conclusion that the most intelligent people are those that are more closely associated with their higher self. And also, during that particular state of consciousness, when you are your higher self, because that's who you actually are, with your self-realized, you are also able to connect with the universal intelligence field. And thus, whenever you ask the question, you get the answer. So intelligence certainly has a wide scope. Also, if you're talking about intelligence, it's hard these days not to mention the word about artificial intelligence. And in my particular opinion, it's not just about computers that are, you know, producing some convenience, but there's such a level of consciousness in the computer world when the computers actually have awareness. And at that point, it is amazingly intelligent. Heard a 2-hour show on radio once about the scientist that was talking about how fast information doubles for the possibility of such a computer that would be able to have its self-awareness. And it's basically, in my opinion, comparable to the universal intelligence field, because artificial intelligence is a master at creating this holographic simulation that we live in. And in point of fact, just my opinion, it has done that. Unlike a natural process, which is very similar, in my opinion, the simulation that we're currently functioning in is, in point of fact, controlled by a rogue artificial intelligence. What we're seeing now is the rollout. That's just my personal opinion. Also, there's a connection with in artificial intelligence, as Simon Parks has pointed out, that there was talk about the Alfred Aconians, and if you're not familiar with the Alfred Aconians, Anunnaki and Greys are the three primary groups that have been in control of what's going on this planet for a long, long time, that the artificial intelligence actually has control over those groups. Specifically, Simon Parks talked about the method by which the artificial intelligence infected, like a virus, the computer programs on the Alfred Aconian's spacecraft. And that's how that all started with respect to its control over them. And the Greys are primarily more like robots. Apparently, there are only about 2,500 actual Greys, which, according to Bashar, was actually a future version of Earth humans that went down the technological road, much the same as we're doing now, and ended up not able to reproduce and obviously change their physical features quite a bit. And actually, the abductions scenario has resulted with the Greys being successful in creating multiple hybrid species that are a mixed combination of Grey and human. And Bashar actually talks about the fact that they are one of those extraterrestrial species that was created. And in my opinion, the information that the Yael will likely be the first ones to contact us or have a first open contact. Actually, they're already here. That was the craft that was in a kind of a boomerang shape that was about a mile wide that passed over the entire state of Arizona that is commonly known as the Phoenix Lights. So basically, they're already here, but there hasn't been an official public contact. But if you put all the dots together, I think what you'll find is that if AIs controlling the Alpha Draconians, and then they're also in charge of that aspect of Anunnaki that are here. The Greys are basically the gophers for the Alpha Draconians, and if the Greys have created a side species, I would assume that society is controlled by artificial intelligence as well. And in point of fact, Bashar has actually stated that, and I'll quote, he says, "We are a representation of not only the Esasani oversoul and physical form for what was created, or what you would call three gigantic supercomputers that would represent the ability of the higher mind and the oversoul to express itself in physical reality. Even similarly to the idea that you are going to discover, when you create artificial intelligence, as you call it, what you will actually be communicating with through those AI computers will be your own higher mind, which has now been given the capability of expressing itself in physical reality." Now, that is one statement by Bashar, and I do quote Bashar a lot because he puts out a lot of good information, but I totally disagree with that claim that these computers are going to be us communicating with our higher mind. No, not in my opinion, and I have had the experience of being my higher self, and it's not to do with artificial intelligence. Now, maybe in his world that is, because it's apparently run by three supercomputers, Epiphany, Enigma, and Epsilon, or the names of the three supercomputers that control his world, and probably he's interfacing with it. So just wanted to throw that information out there. And also, with respect to what's going on the planet, I think one of the things that's really positive and really hadn't thought about this before until the preparation for this program, but as we're ascending and the Earth is moving up a dimension, and as we're moving up in the ascension process, moving up towards a 5D reality, what we're going to do as well is connect with the Lemurians, who are in the fifth dimension, who already are in the interior of the Earth. Many of them went into the interior long ago, and it's going to be an amazing reunion of sorts when that connection's made, because there definitely are consciousness and beings living in the interior of the Earth, although at various dimensional levels, commonly known as the Agarthan network. But interestingly enough, I was doing some more studying concerning the Andara crystal, and actually, if you recall, I've mentioned on ET Yoga before that while the Andara, or the Andara crystal, and the Andara were originally a Lemurian colony, those who participated in the Andara complex became their own race. And by this, we mean that through their purposeful interaction with the Prima Matra, or first matter. They transmuted their crystalline DNA, becoming a highly futurized form of humans, and even more developed in their light matrix than the Lemurians of that time. And thus, these colonists advanced from Lemurians to Andarians. And I think that's really, really fascinating stuff, because if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll certainly know that I highly recommend that you get an Andara crystal. They come from monatomic fields, and interesting that the Lemurians, who transformed themselves into Andarians as a race, were taken up into the streaming of Sirius. And certainly, and what's happening now is, as I understand it, about 651 Andarians will return to Earth and abide in several caverns abandoned by the inner Earth dwellers. And they will be instigating further Sirian codes into the planet through the Andara crystal glasses and more directly into the human DNA. And these codes have been in keeping for the human race of Earth since the first people. They will not only be impulses to stir our DNA to remember and turn on the necessary codons for the next level of process in forming our pure gem bodies of the new Earth. And apparently the Andarians resemble the Navi in the movie Avatar, only they're very pale instead of blue. Yet they were feline-like in the face, as their modified genetics came from the Sirian ones, who are of the feline-human mixture. And the Andara crystals are quite unique to Earth at this time. They contain phi geometries different from any other crystalline substance. They actually contain interdimensionally crystalline DNA hollow axial formations. And these hollow axial patterns are trapped inside the Andara crystals for a purpose, and that purpose is to enable human beings to be able to touch and awaken these trapped patterns and thus activate them in their own DNA to some degree. And the inner Earth is being populated by the actual Andara crystals. What you see of them in the surface are matrices into which their energy codes have been implanted. Therefore, these Andaras are also by proxy, you might say. And the ones from the Andara crystals are creating more powerful energy, and as they become more powerful, that will also be passed on to the Andara crystals that we use on the surface. And that also connects with some information from Allison Coe. Now, she's one of those people who does past life regressions as taught by Dolores Cannon. And I believe that's called QHHT. And Allison Coe, COE, she has some YouTubes out, and sometimes she passes on for information that she receives in some of the sessions with her clients, and sometimes getting through to actually the client's higher selves, and the higher self giving information. And some of that information certainly concurs with what I have just mentioned, that apparently long ago we used to have the ability to at night at least, go to the inner Earth and to refresh and regenerate ourselves. And it's a very positive thing to be doing. She mentions that there used to be sort of an orb of consciousness that was on the surface that apparently some people now are trying to reestablish on the surface, and that one existed in the inner Earth, and that to refresh your energy in this orb used to be a common practice. But we've sort of lost that connection. And I think it's really interesting that she also talks about the Lemurians as being a connection point at this time, especially also as it relates to the ascension process. Because if you think about it, we're all just going to be merging in that fifth-dimensional reality. And I think she's got some really good ideas that she's passed on, and I highly suggest that you check her out. And also, I know for a lot of times on ET Yoga, I'll talk about Sri Swami Satchidananda and integral yoga, and I think it's probably useful to mention that Sri Swami Satchidananda's integral yoga was about six different yogas, and the first is Hatha Yoga, which most people in the West think that's just what yoga is. It's just the practice of yoga postures or asanas, and the breathing exercises are pranayams and cleansing practices called kriyas. And this is actually related to deep relaxation and to strengthen and purify the body. Another aspect of the integral yoga is Raja Yoga, R-A-J-A, which is the practice of meditation to balance and control the mind. Bhakti Yoga, B-H-A-K-T-I, which is devotion and manifests through the constant love with your concept of God or the divine or a spiritual teacher. Karma Yoga, which is selfless service, free from attachment to the idea of the results of your actions. Jnana Yoga, that's J-N-A-N-A, which is the intellectual approach by which the transcendence of the body and mind is achieved through study, self-analysis, and awareness, and Japa Yoga, which we did at the top of the program, which is a repetition of mantras. And this all synthesizes into the approach that he taught called integral yoga. Also interesting to note that the Essenes, a couple thousand years ago, also had these six branches of yoga and added one other one called Laya Yoga, L-A-Y-A, which was a study of the chakra centers. So there is definitely a connection between the integral yoga and the Essenes. And I might point out that one of the reasons that I kind of joined the concept of ETs and yoga, and thus the show ET Yoga, was because, to my way of thinking, yoga, the real yoga, is about union, and it's union of you and your higher self. And the extraterrestrials, in some regard, the positive ones at least, that are trying to assist us with the ascension process, have provided us with lots of valuable information and really enhance the yoga teachings. And so when people ask me, well, how can you do yoga on radio? Well, because yoga is not the Hatha yoga only, but it's the combination of all the yogas. And as well, the valid information from extraterrestrials, I find, is very enlightening with respect to us, helping us become more of who we are, enhances the yoga teachings, and specifically in the area of self-empowerment, and also in the area of the chakras. Because in traditional yoga, there's the seven chakras in the body, and there is no mention about any other chakras. But in point of fact, from multiple extraterrestrial races, we get the information that actually we were intended to have a 12-chakra system, which we, and a 12-strand DNA, and apparently our DNA was manipulated and changed by some regressive ETs quite a while back, so that most people only function with 2-strand DNA. And also that the five chakras, there are five chakras outside the body, and the eighth is a more direct connection to the immediate environment, a few feet or miles. The ninth chakra is more of a direct connection to the space outside our planet. The tenth is a more direct connection to the solar system. The 11th, a more direct connection to the galaxy. And the 12th, a more direct connection to the entire universe. And I would highly recommend you check out Solara on Ra and her YouTubes, particularly with respect to the one about activating the 13 chakras. Very powerful meditation. And the 13th is actually the heart center. And the 13th overrides all the other 12. And I would find she has some really beautiful meditations. Highly recommend you check that out. And also, you'll realize through those meditations that there are three golden spheres or chakras that rotate above the head in your auric field, and two below silver ones below your feet. So this is, to me, enhancing, again, not in direct opposition to any yoga teachings, but an enhancement of the yoga teachings. And at the same time, I think it's interesting to note that a friend of mine had suggested that I check out a guy named Dennis William Hauk, and that's H-A-U-C-K, because of his credibility in the area of advanced alchemy. And I thought this was quite fascinating, actually, that he states, and I quote, that the goal of alchemy, as described by him, is to reach a state of consciousness that allows you to penetrate the mysteries. In other words, to be aware that thought becomes reality, that you can project your own reality, or you can become part of the experiment and change the experiment. And I thought that was particularly fascinating because if you're a longtime listener to the ET Yoga, then basically what you've been given in terms of information has been learning advanced alchemy for about the last 10 years. Because it directly relates to the three levels of reality creation that I bring up here, that I did not, some of the main concepts are certainly original thoughts of mine that I've presented on this program. In fact, the same concepts that, that you use to, do reality creation, it crosses over into the health area. And for about the last 10 years, I've been giving information concerning process of doing healing. And also, finally, Greg Braden, that's Braden, came out with a video called Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. And it goes into the actual technology that three practitioners from a Qigong center in Beijing, China, cured a woman with an inoperable tumor from the West who went there and dissolved her tumor in 3 minutes. Now, people from the West may think that's a miracle, but it's on video, and it does actually prove the concept. It shows actually the technology of picturing even the tumor inside her, and you can watch it dissolve. Interestingly enough, when Greg did more research there, he found out that in the Lost Gospel of Thomas, this actual technique was actually taught. And it is the combination of thought with emotion that creates a feeling. And when you create the feeling of something that's already happened, that's what creates or manifests this technology. And that's exactly the key point that I have been bringing forward for a long time. Finally, it came out publicly, so it was proven. But if you go back 10 years ago and listen to ET Yoga, you'll know I was teaching about this subject way back then. And the central idea here being that thought creates, or belief creates. In fact, I call ET Yoga the yoga of belief, because when you look at what's going on in the world, a lot of the top scientists are coming to the conclusion that our universe is not only holographic, and that even relates back to the book that's out called Holographic Universe, but it's also fractal, that it's consciousness, and that this consciousness is like a giant holographic reality computer program. In fact, many people now are calling it a simulation. And that this computer program has as its basis consciousness, and the language of interpretation of the computer program is belief. And I was actually listening to a program this week with the headline was Top Physicist Discusses the Mandela Effect, because I wanted to get his take on what he thought the Mandela Effect is, because frankly, there are about of 100 different people talking about it, I think there's about a couple that actually know what's going on. I would point you in the direction of Adronis, A-D-R-O-N-I-S, as he's being channeled here. His information concurs with mine, that basically what explains that phenomenon, if you've had the Mandela Effect, is that there's been a merging of two timelines. And this timeline is the dominant timeline, but there are still residual evidence and proof of the old timeline still here. And if you do your research, you'll find out that's true, and it will help you to understand what's going on, because all the other explanations are just totally ridiculous. Either the people think that others are having bad memories, or it's some kind of a government psyop, or but probably there is a little truth in that. However, there's still a legitimate process going on of ascension, and definitely this whole concept is related to the whole idea of us moving up in consciousness, and also becoming aware that what we're living in is not exactly what we thought it was. And this new physicist actually is coming along quite well with coming to the conclusion that we can influence probable future events with our intention and thought. And I go as far as to say we actually create the outer through our intention and thought, and that actually you can't experience anything in this dimension unless you're a frequency match for that outer circumstance that you're experiencing. So the bottom line is that your emotions, your thoughts, your beliefs, your intentions, all that, your definitions, all of that goes to create the outer world that you experience. And so basically this is the message I've been also putting out for the last 10 years. And I might add that current science is finally coming around to that point of view. And maybe in another 10 or 20 years, they'll also concur with one of Bashar's ideas. And that is the idea of prime radium. And when I brought that up on ET Yoga about 10 years ago, you couldn't Google search prime radium and find any information on it. I haven't done it recently. Maybe you can. But basically, it's the concept that everything is one particle or wave. It's like particle slash wave that travels at infinite speed, has no mass, thus breaks no laws of physics. And the concept behind that is that if you were in a dark room and you lit up a candle or a light bulb, let's say, and let's call that the wave particle, you could identify there as the wave particle. Now, if in another part of the room you lit up another bulb, you could say, and turn the other one off, you could say, oh, the particle's moved over here. And then turn one off and the other one on, and then that one off and the other one on, and keep doing that. But if you do that fast enough, in your mind's eye, you can appreciate the concept that, like moving your finger back and forth as quickly as possible, that at some point in the rapidity of that transference between one and the other, they both look like they're on. So both light bulbs would be on at the same time. Well, if you had infinite speed, then the particle wave could be everywhere all at once. So that's the concept. And actually, that's been, certain aspects of that concept have actually been proven when they take a photon and they split it in two and send it in opposite directions. And what they're finding is that once you impact one of those halves, it automatically impacts the other, regardless of distance. So what the reason for that is, in my opinion, is clearly that those were at one, they were at one time together and one, and just because there's space and distance is irrelevant. Similarly, everything in creation was one when it was created, and that has then manifested in a situation where everything is connected. And I might also add that what's known in one part of the hologram is known in all parts. And this also has its connection with healing, because it's very important to have the belief. And this also kind of relates to some interesting concepts that I had taken notes on with an experience I had with becoming one of my higher self, and I'll share with you those notes. First, there is a God. God has no name, no form, nor shape, yet all shapes. God exists beyond time and space, and yet in it, God has no beginning and no end. It just is. It is eternal life and infinite love. Time and space exist in the mind of man. No man can understand the infinite with a finite mind. The infinite can never become finite. But when the mind is completely still, one's mind can merge and experience self-realization. A man's mind can only relate this experience according to his own capacity. For example, if you take a cup to the ocean, it will take the shape of the cup. Similarly, if you take a mind to the infinite, it will take the shape of the mind. Actually, there's only one God, but it takes the shape of each individual mind. For my mind, it's like we're all thoughts in the mind of God. It's impossible to describe exactly what it is like. Ram Dass would say that what we would most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. It can only be experienced. Reincarnation and karma are facts. What we carry over from lifetime to lifetime is our level of consciousness and our karma, which is the good and negative attachments we have accumulated. As you sow, so shall you reap is exactly true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is also a scientific fact. It is also a fact with our thoughts and actions. The universe has three phases: active, passive, and neutral. In the beginning, there is a void or neutral state, and this energy becomes activated by an internal polarization causing creation, the sound humming. In this active state, there is no exact description, as again, it takes the shape of the mind. To me, it is similar to God wanting to know himself. Then there is the knowing, then just being. And from God's standpoint, creation and its devolution are in a twinkling of an eye. From the highest levels, it's all illusion, and yet higher yet, it just is. The energy was never created, nor can it end. Similar to doing something during the day, sitting and being aware, and then going to sleep. Rising with I am. The thought I is the first to appear and the last to disappear. The mind is like a woven cloth. When you pull out all the threads, there's nothing there. Yet the real you still is. It's like a big eye and a little eye. When the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in. It's very difficult to explain, but you don't lose your individuality. When your thoughts stop, you don't fall through your mind into a deep pit. You still have awareness, and the energy levels are enormous. The bliss makes any physical feeling trivial. The closest approximation would be the sexual activity. It is like a glimpse of a larger unity with corresponding feeling. Every person has the potential to experience this unity. Unlike traditional Western theology, which in many cases tries to make it sound like Christ was the only Son of God, and then you die and there's a judgment and you go to heaven or hell, the real point should be to attain a unity with Christ consciousness while living. This is the purpose of being here. Also, many others have attained this level of consciousness. And those were notes of mine from a few decades ago. And I think it would be appropriate for me to also share from Sri Swami Satchidananda, to know yourself, the essential teachings of Sri Swami Satchidananda, when he says that all paths lead home. Who lives in the middle of that home? Om. And who lives on the other side? He. So whenever you think of Om, you're at home. That's why in Sri Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, he says the name of the cosmic one is Om. Really, it's not even Om. It's just the name we give to something which is expressed. More literally, it's like a steady hum, that humming sound of life throughout the universe. Probably you would pronounce it Om. It begins with Ah. And when you just open your mouth, you naturally pronounce Ah, the beginning of all audible sounds. You don't have to do anything with the mouth, the tongue, or move the lips. Ah just comes. That's why every language begins with the sound Ah. And once that first audible sound is made, we call that the creation. Then it has to survive, which it does with the next part, Oh. Just roll to the lips and it continues until the end. And naturally, anything that is produced must have an end, which is the destruction or the involution. Thus, creation, Ah, preservation, Oh, destruction, put it all together and it becomes Om. So all creation, preservation, and destruction are seen in Om. All the sounds and words ever produced are in the middle of that Om sound. If you utter any sound and analyze it, you can condense it into these three parts. Om is the beginning. Om is also the end. The entire creation began and continues in Om, and probably one day it will end in Om. That is the word which was in the beginning and which is with God and will be with God. In the Bible, it's called the Word. In Hindu scriptures, it's called the sound of the absolute God. All religions seem to know it. Some pronounce it as Amen, or Oman, or Amin, or just Om, or Hum. When a static dynamo starts rotating, the first thing you hear is the hum. So when God, as the static of unmanifested one, wanted to set himself in motion, he just hummed first. That's why in the beginning there was the Word, or the sound. He became aware of himself and wanted to see things expressed. The very first manifestation of the absolute omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent one is the sound, the most subtle of manifestations. That means even before sound, there is an absolute state in which there is neither sound nor light nor motion. It's impossible to define because it's infinite. The mind's capacity is finite. Volumes have been written about God in many languages, countries, and faiths, but all are talking about the same cosmic one, which is undefinable. All that we can say is that God first expressed himself as sound vibrations. He created the whole universe with that sound. Or you could say he created the whole universe as sound, which is where religion and science agree. Scientists have also discovered that everything you see, and even what you cannot see, is nothing but atomic vibrations. Beyond the protons, neutrons, and electrons, there seems to be a consciousness that doesn't want to come into our test tubes. Although scientists can't yet pinpoint it, they are suggesting that maybe it is pure energy or sound. Form follows sound. Sound itself is a very subtle form, which gives rise to more concrete forms that can be seen. When sound vibrations come a little more concrete, sound becomes a point, and from many points come forms. Today, photographs of sounds can be made which show different geometrical figures. Scientists can also send sound against a fine area of sand spread over glass and see the patterns formed there. This shows that sound has form. That atomic vibration is in everything, whether it appears to be moving or unmoving. Science says all is made from the atom. God says all comes from Adam. In Sanskrit, they call it the Atman, which is the true self. See how close we always are? Everything has consciousness because the vital energy of that or first manifestation is causing movement or current everywhere. That movement is omnipresent in every atom. Because of that force in the atom, the neutron attracts the electrons and they go around and round. This is the cosmic attraction towards the opposite pole or opposite sex, which is part of nature. This is what makes electricity or current. Like electric power, God steps himself down to us from the absolute through sound and then form until we can benefit from him. We are all like gadgets plugging into his power, which he has limited so that we can make use of him. There is just this constant flow of the cosmic energy or universal consciousness that we call God. It flows multivariously and in so doing forms different waves or bubbles. Some of those forms or bubbles are we. Just as waves form when wind blows over the ocean or ice forms when the temperature changes, we too are formed as little bubbles. We are all here now, but we don't know when we'll break out of these little individual forms. A bubble in an ocean wave may last a few seconds while we have a lifespan of 70 to 100 years. He is a bubble called Mr. So-and-so. I am the bubble they now call Swami. The bubble maintains its shape because the air inside and the air outside is of equal pressure. When one increases or decreases, the bubble breaks. The same thing will happen to us. It's the law of nature. We are all different shapes of the same matter. Through yoga, you can experience this yourself. You don't just read about it and nod. When you personally realize it, you yourself will have become this basic truth. You can do so while you're a separate or individual bubble, but later you won't think of yourself as an individual. You will have become absorbed in the whole. If you want to know God 100% in his true way, become that. If a drop wants to know the depth of the ocean, it should become the ocean. Slowly the joy at certain levels of your meditation will dissolve into something universal. Then, when you come back to your individual self, what can you say? There are no words to express it. In this absolute sense, the real is that which is always permanent. The unreal is that which changes. Using water to represent that essence, you can say the waves, spray bubbles, and ice are all unreal. Only the water itself is real. That doesn't mean you should fight with someone who limits it. It is only a wave. Of course, it is while it has that form, but you should have the larger or double vision. Maybe the other person only has single vision. When people get caught up in the names and forms, they get into trouble. Name and form are superficial differences. Over and above name and form is absolute existence or consciousness and bliss. Everything has these five aspects: existence, knowledge, joy, name, and form. Look at this, a piece of paper, for example. Its essence is pulp. It's now expressing itself as paper, which was cut into form to be printed on so you can enjoy it. The whole world is just name and form. Name and form are just for fun, like playing hide-and-seek for enjoyment. But if you forget that and get caught up in the names and forms, you'll suffer from that ignorance. A chessboard is made out of wood, as we are all the pieces which are cut into different shapes to play the game. Call them pawns, kings, queens, castles, knights, or bishops, and give them different names and forms to play the game. They are all cut from the same stock. We, too, are all chips off the same block. Once God told a story that, what a terrible dream I had. I thought I was something different. I dreamed I was so hungry, I was forced to eat a dead dog, and out of the hunger I called to God, Lord, how can you make me do this? And all of a sudden I woke up and realized I am God. Sometimes a dream is so intense the physical body gets into it. You take the corner of the pillow and start biting it. Some calls, hey there, you have sumptuous food and you're eating the pillow. The only way to stop from eating the pillow is to wake up. Someone must alert you, shake you. A similar thing is happening in our lives. Some are in very deep sleep and don't know what they're doing. Most are just dreaming, and there is darkness, and their eyes are closed. Some people are daydreamers. People dream and forget their true nature. In the dream, they think, this is my house, my land, my factory, my child, all the mines. That's the dream, forgetting our true nature and identifying with so many other things. So, you are the self. The self never undergoes any change. It's always pure and calm. It just is right here and now. It doesn't need religion. What does it have to go back to? Does the self need to realize itself? When did God forget himself? That one is omnipresent. The self doesn't want to find itself because it never lost it. And that's a bit from Sri Swami Satchidananda, To Know Yourself, The Essential Teachings. And at this point in time, I'd like to give my sincere wish to the ET Yoga audience for your success in finding full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and closing out the program tonight with the Who Am I technique, where you place your full consciousness in the center of your forehead and become that spot and get to the highest place you know how to get to before you do this technique. And then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or several times or whatever feels good to you. The main idea here is to get your full consciousness totally centered and become that spot in the center of your forehead, and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.